Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
This is John Rocha, one third of the Geek Buddies, with this awesome ad for you. If you like this show and you want to make your own, and some of you have reached out and asked us about making your own podcast, well, let me tell you about Anchor. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes. The possibilities are endless for what you can create, whether it's music analysis, your own radio show, or something the world's never heard before. Go ahead and let your freak flag fly. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more places. And you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Take it from us here at the Geek Buddies. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now, on with the Geek Buddies show.
Welcome, everyone, to some special bonus content here on
The Geek Buddies!
Hey! So Mr. Vogel is not here right now. He is off gallivanting around the country because he's a popular, cool guy, not a nerd at all. No. So right now you're listening to Shannon McClung. I'm an animation writer and a television actor.
Hi, I'm John Rocha. I'm a writer and producer and host over at Collider, co-host of the Top 10 Show, co-host of the Cinephiles, host of the Deep Cut over there at Collider, and a proud co-host of the Geek Buddies. I got so many to keep track of my head.
Well, and you've got so much pride in all of them.
I really do.
You do. You work hard.
I do work hard. I love doing this. I take so much shit for it from some of my friends and colleagues here at Collider, but I like doing it. Because you know what? It's fun to talk to the fans. It's fun to talk about this stuff. And I'm willing to take the slings and arrows because I enjoy hanging out with my friends, like on Geek Buddies, and talking about these kinds of things.
Well, and again, I can never, and I've told you this privately, your fans should know. I mean, John is one of the hardest workers I know. I mean, John, when he found this career avenue, like it's interesting because, you know, people move out here with dreams of stardom, and 99.9% of the time, those dreams don't work out. You don't end up doing what you think you're going to do. John came out here wanting to be an actor. He had some success, but you never seemed totally happy. You never seemed totally content.
That's agreed.
The times that I saw you the happiest were after we had seen a movie and we were watching or we were grabbing a drink afterwards and discussing it.
Yeah.
The passion in which you talk about film is truly something to witness. So when you found this, or when this found you, when fate led you down this path, it was like, oh, that's what John's supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, I won't disagree with you. I love it for that reason, and it's because I get to do these kinds of things and talk movies and talk with and hear different points of views and break it all down and disseminate it. It's so much fun. The other part of it is not so much fun when people make fun of your opinions or people come at you and like I said, the slings and arrows and denigrate. It makes you question what your thoughts on things are. But screw it, I still keep going because I love doing it. And you're right, I've never been happier doing something that I've wanted to do out here. I was never happy being an actor out here in L.A. I was happy doing it at Florida State, but being on set, the hurry up and wait, the sitting around the trailer all day, I realized that was not something I want to do with my life. You got to love it to do it as long as, like, you've been doing it, Shannon, and successfully so, and writing now too. You got to love it to deal with the grind of it. And this has a grind as well, and I enjoyed this grind so much more than I ever enjoyed any of the acting grind. And I don't mean voiceover, I mean on camera. I still love voiceovers.
So. Right.
Yeah. Anyway, what we're here to talk about is...
We are here to talk about the second episode of The Mandalorian.
Dun, dun.
So this is going to be filled with spoilers. Yep. We're going to go in depth about the episode. John.
Yeah.
10 minutes shorter than the first episode.
Yes, quite happy about that.
You know what's so funny, and you know we'll get into this when we talk about Watchmen.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, you know, we were all expecting The Mandalorian to be an hour show.
Yes.
Everyone just assumed that. Now, a lot of times with those cable streaming shows that are an hour, there's always a little bit of padding that has to happen because an hour, that's half of a feature film.
Yes.
Like there's a lot of information that you have to get out over the season, but you can't pack all that in one episode. You have to let things play out organically. So you end up getting some storylines like, I don't really care about this. That's clearly not what they're doing here. I mean, they are focused. I mean, it seems like we are not going to cut away from The Mandalorian at all this season.
Right.
And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I like it too. You stay with him. The story is his story and no one else's. And we're following following him on this journey in this new relationship. And I said this after the first episode. It's Lone Wolf and Cub. It's in this episode, more than any other episode, and it's directed by Rick Famuyiwa.
Famuyiwa.
Famuyiwa. And it's called The Child. This has been the first real statement from the creators and from the show itself that this is an Eastern philosophy film with a Western look.
Yeah.
And I love that combo because that's one of the reasons why I love the samurai films so much. This idea of the Ronin, this idea of the master of the samurai, this idea of samurais and their code of conduct, the code of war, right? The Mandalorian has never taken his mask off now in two episodes, helmet off, nothing. The whole time they're working on the ship to put it back together with Ugnaught, there is no mask that's taken off. He works through the sweat or whatever through it, you know? And then he finds the connection with the little baby Yoda, as we said, because he was himself a disenfranchised
an orphan.
Yes, exactly. So, and I love the Jawa stuff coming in this episode.
That was
brilliant.
So he's been on three planets now. In two episodes, he's been on three planets. They never say, hey, you're going to this planet, you're going to that planet.
Right.
Now, this is the first evidence that we have, like, oh, so Jawas aren't just on Tatooine. They are they're at least on two planets
here. Right.
And thinking back to, you know, episode four, when 3PO said Jawas, disgusting creatures, which I never really felt was warranted. I'm like, oh, they're just little guys in little brown cloaks.
Right.
Watching them cut open that egg and dip their little mitten hands into that yolk, that was one of the most disgusting things I think I've ever seen. But the idea that, okay, these guys can go from planet to planet too, and we really got – I think it's the first time we've ever seen a Jawa with subtitles.
Yeah.
And how they're busting his balls over the fact that he can't speak Jawa well, that he sounds like a Wookiee.
Well, that's with all the Wookiee bashing, by God's sakes. That was a fun part of this episode. But, you know, he had to fight that creature off in the tunnel for the egg. But look, that's another example of how this episode is so different from Star Wars. An egg is a possible another creature, baby creature to this creature that he killed.
Yeah.
And he did that just so he could get his parts back for his ship so he could fly off.
Yeah.
Right? Because he wouldn't give anything of his own up. So he had no problem going and taking a possible child. This is what's ironic, a possible child from something, some creature, and sacrificing it for his parts. But he'll save the baby Yoda. So it's an interesting approach to his world, but it also shows you this is a grittier, dirtier Star Wars. It isn't necessarily this black and white, good and evil type thing. This is survival.
Yeah.
And this is what it's all about.
Yeah. This is tantamount to like going into like a wildlife preserve and killing a mama bear and taking the cub. I mean, that's
right.
That is what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, even though the creature has the giant horn and it's, you know, kicking the shit out of him for the most part.
Well, if someone came into your house, wouldn't you?
Sure, 100%.
Right.
But there was that moment of like, oh, I actually kind of feel bad for this thing.
Yes.
Because he's not going looking for trouble.
Right.
He was sleeping.
Yeah.
In his den.
He was doing his thing.
In the dark.
Right.
But thus far, like, it is such an interesting, more kind of – would you say it's more of a grown-up take on Star Wars?
Hell yes.
I mean
– hell yes. A mature take, which I like, which is why I'm so puzzled by the people who are upset about it, who are pushing back on it. It's like, What have we been clamoring for is new Star Wars, new approaches to Star Wars, new types of Star Wars. Here it is.
Yeah.
Here it is. And it's so well done, so well directed. I love the moments of silence as much as I love the exchanges.
Yeah.
You know? And yes, you're going to have this combo, which is great. The Star Wars that is a mix of the humor or the smirk or the comical situation, like life, mixed in with the actual stakes of what's happening here.
Right.
And I thought the episode did a fantastic job of showcasing that for the Mandalorian, you know? And he gets to solidify this relationship a little bit more with Nick Nolte's Ugnaught character.
Yeah.
That was great as well. So you get this sense that this guy could create friends. He asks him to be part of his crew.
Yeah. He tries to pay him.
He tries to pay him.
He's like, please let me give you something.
Right. Well, already there's nobility here, right? Like a samurai. You gave me food. What would you like in exchange? What can I give you? Blah, 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 for housing me for the night. There are plenty of samurai movies. I just watched Three Outlaw Samurai, and all three of them were staying in a hut, or one of them was staying in the hut, which starts the whole thing, because the farmers gave him some comfort. Well, he finds out these people who are higher up, the lords, are trying to destroy these farmers. So he defends the farmers in that situation. That's the way it goes. So to see this happening, and the Westerns, same thing, which are influenced by these Japanese movies, all of that is there. And so to see it in The Mandalorian, it makes me very, very excited.
Yeah. And I love the fact that we got to see, and obviously we know we're calling him Baby Yoda. We know he's not Yoda as a baby. A baby of Yoda's species.
Sure.
Seeing that apparently being proficient with the Force is something that is just born into this particular species. And like a child, you don't know where your limits are, which is why he was able to save the Mandalorian, but then he passed out as a result of it.
For a long time.
For a very, very long time.
Now, what are your thoughts about the fact that people are commenting about the patch that was on the doctor's arm in the first episode, and that the patch relates to Kamino, and that Yoda could be a clone, the baby Yoda could be a clone?
I had not heard that.
Yeah.
My initial instinct is that is not true, just because I feel like the Kaminoans probably wouldn't share those secrets with other folks. I can't remember if Vogel or you said it, that maybe that guy was working for the Empire.
Yeah. Certainly working for the Empire.
And
I would think so.
Perhaps, you know, he took over Kamino, like if the Empire ended up invading it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a clone of it. I don't think it's a clone of Yoda. I think it is an infant of that species, because I think with as much new ground as they're breaking, they're not going to go to the well for something like that.
Okay.
That's just my thought.
Okay. What else did you enjoy about this episode, or not enjoy about the episode?
I mean, I enjoyed everything. I understand and respected why it was 30 minutes. I would have been okay with a little bit longer.
Okay.
I love the fact that the Jawas can handle their business.
Yeah.
That they took on the Mandalorian and they won. I mean, they suffered some casualties. They had a couple of disintegrated Jawas.
That
hit the ground. But I getting to watch them fight, I was like, oh, this is really, really interesting. And you know, it's funny that he gets to the top of the Sandcrawler and I don't know, there's like 20 Jawas who all level their blasters at him.
Yeah.
I mean, fun action. And again, like I know you guys thought I said it as a negative and that they're dealing with the limitations, but I think they're leaning into it.
Yeah.
I think that makes for interesting action when you don't have a ton of stuff to work with.
I agree. And I know. I like that the 30 minutes. I don't understand why people are upset about them not being longer. I want the cardinal rule of entertainment is to get in and get out as quickly as possible.
Leave them wanting more.
And leave them wanting more.
Yep.
And certainly you are left wanting more after every episode. People were upset there was 40 minutes, the pilot, that it wasn't an hour. And then this one comes along, it's only 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And you're just like, what the hell? And if the rest of these are 30 minutes, I am thoroughly happy with that. Because I think that scares some people down the road that Kenobi could only be 30 minutes. I bet that scares some people thinking, oh, well, is Kenobi going to be 30 minutes or is it going to be an hour?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the great thing about the streaming platforms is – I mean, I'm assuming Disney Plus is not going to syndicate their shows. They're going to keep them on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
But you know, generally, you know, they're with a streamer. Generally, with network shows and cable shows, like it's 22 minutes or it's 40 22 minutes or 43 minutes for a half an hour and an hour. And you're doing that because you have to put in time for commercials.
Yeah.
They don't have to do that with the streamers. Like, you can tell the story that you want to tell. So you're not forced to pad it with unnecessary material, and you're also not forced to cut a bunch of stuff that you want to keep because you have to make time for commercials.
Yeah.
I'm okay with whatever time they give us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm perfectly okay with that. I think the idea of an Obi-Wan series, I think it lends itself more to a longer show because I think you are going to have more dialogue. But then again, maybe not. He's on Tatooine by himself.
That's true. And look, if you got Dave Filoni being involved here, remember Dave Filoni's done half-hour animated stuff.
Yep.
This is what he's used to creating. So why wouldn't it work with Favreau to do that kind of thing with The Mandalorian? So you keep him half an hour, keep him wanting more, you move on to the next thing. Clone Wars is beloved by so many people. Those are half-hour episodes.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're 22 a season, but that's the way it was. That's the way it was back then. Now, this thing is 8 episodes is Mandalorian? I think pretty much 8, right?
8 or 9.
Eight or nine? Yeah.
I think we say this every week.
We do. Eight.
It is 8. Okay.
It's going to end up on Christmas, 2 days after Christmas Day is the last episode. So you're like, oh, yeah. So we're done for the year with Mandalorian and we move on to the next thing in Star Wars. So to me, I think that's genius.
Yeah.
I really do. And so, I enjoy all of it. I like what Pedro Pascal is doing with his voice and how he's conveying emotion and how he was ever physically in the costume.
Nick Nolte's character Pedro?
For Pedro.
I bet it's him.
Do you think it's Pedro?
I 100% think it's Pedro.
Okay, I respect that. I wonder if they have a thing in his, you know, so you can hear him sound like a radio, like it sounds like through a radio when he talks when he's acting with the other actors. I wonder if that's there.
I mean, he would have to be doing the dialogue just to give the other actor their cue.
True.
Whether or not they're actually recording it, I don't know. I would think you would want to because you would want to keep that stuff sort of in the moment because as we have said before, there are certain actors when they're playing a CG character like Will Smith in Aladdin.
Yeah.
For me, when he was in his genie form, there was something missing. But when he was in human form, when he was sitting there eye to eye with the other actor, I'm like, oh, this is the performance.
Yeah.
Like this is in the moment. Not every actor can do that.
Yeah.
And I would guess that they are probably having to record his dialogue after. Mm-hmm. That would be my guess.
Yeah. He fought off – who are those two – what's the species that he fights off at the beginning? Two of them are like from the bounty hunter we've seen before.
It wasn't Bosk's species, was it?
Was it Bosk? It looked like Bosk's species.
Were
maybe
they kinda,
I'm wrong.
They were kind of lizard looking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought they were just guys from the – little outpost that he took down. I think they were
two of the last ones or something like that.
Yeah, I think maybe guys that weren't on the outpost at the time of the attack.
I'm looking at let me see. I'm gonna type in Bosk Mandalorian and see what comes. Here we go. Bosk Mandalorian. Oh, he's fighting Trandoshans not named Bosk. So, yeah.
Oh, so it is his species?
Those are Trandoshans that he fought. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's Bosk's species, but not Bosk. Okay. Done and done. Love it.
Yeah.
Anything more to say?
No, man. I'm enjoying the show. I'm looking forward to this Friday when the next one drops.
Yeah. They don't have a title for it yet either on IMDb, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah.
I've tried desperately not – look, there's a temptation to ask them to send me the episodes ahead of time.
Right.
But they're not – I don't think they're doing it for Mandalorian. They did the first 3 episodes and then they stopped sending them ahead of time. So that's an interesting situation. I think they know what they have. They want to let it roll out and everyone enjoy them at the same time. So all right. What do you want to say, Shannon? You want to wrap us up?
Yeah. Like if you guys would like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you'd like to follow Mr. Vogel on both platforms, it's @MKToon. If you would like to follow Mr. Roca on both platforms, it's @TheRocaSays.
That's right. Please remember to comment, rate, and give us some stars on whatever podcast app you use to listen to this show. We really appreciate it. And thanks, Lon, for coming along on this ride. If this is your first time listening to one of our reviews of Mandalorian, thanks, Lon, for giving us a chance here to entertain you and have some fun and look for more of our content there on The Geek Buddies. We'll talk to you soon.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.